What I say now, I say in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may have noticed in the readings we have just heard and read together that I've decided to deviate from the lectionary this week and offer sort of a greatest hits on the subject of baptism. I've done this not only to give greater recognition to the baptism of Andrea that we have just witnessed, but also to focus in on one of the most intriguing figures in Scripture, that is, John the Baptist. Through the normal course of the lectionary, John is given only a passing glance, either popping in to announce Jesus' coming at Advent or to be executed during Herod's party. But if we want to understand our shared baptism, it makes sense to focus in on the man who carried this as his title, and not only John himself, but also the community gathered with him in the wilderness. See, in the ministry of John the Baptist, we learn that there was already a people gathered in expectation before Jesus arrives in the gospel. Before there was a church, before there was a group of people called Christian, before there was a Christ, there was John and his crowd. And indeed, this was John's ministry, to initiate and to prepare the community for Christ's arrival. In this ministry, John performed a very important service. He addressed a very important need. After all, how could any community receive the mysterious and wonderful and life-changing gift that is Christ without a little initiation? But what exactly did John the Baptist do to initiate the community? According to Mark, at the fourth verse of the first chapter, John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. From Mark, we learn that John, as a wild and prophetic preacher, literally stood out in the wilderness and proclaimed the baptism he offered. John offered this baptism to many, and many came to his open-air service to meet him and be baptized. And that's one thing I want you to keep in mind and to imagine this morning. Imagine a great crowd leaving what is familiar, their cities, their towns, their lives. Mark tells us that everyone left Jerusalem and everyone left the countryside to go meet John in the wilderness. Imagine all those people leaving what is familiar, and imagine these people going out into the wilderness near the Jordan River to meet a man who dressed and acted like a prophet from long ago. John called on people to repent, to get right with God, to come before God openly, to turn around and see God approaching, and to accept his baptism of water as a shared symbol of their faith. In order for John to have been as successful as he was in this ministry, he must have been a captivating figure, one who was capable of bringing attention to himself and, more importantly, to God. In these days, long before radio or television, internet or smartphones, John must have had not only an incredible voice, but also an incredible ability to reach people and draw them together. And this is truly all the more amazing when we consider Mark's description of John. John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. John did not subscribe to the idea that success in marketing, in reaching an audience, in winning friends, and influencing people depends on a clean image and a winsome personality. Quite the opposite. John was strange. John was wild. John went about his neighborhood, that is, the wilderness near the Jordan River, dressed as a throwback to Israel's prophets. He would have looked in this time like an Ezekiel 2.0, someone to be feared, rather than followed. Imagine for a moment this wild man, this baptizer, calling people out of the comfort of their homes and their lives to join him in the wilderness, to come at the calling of a man with locusts and wild honey on his breath and camel hair on his body, to receive his baptism of forgiveness, to follow his instruction to know God and turn to God, to accept the waters of baptism as proof of their naming and claiming by God. Imagine this whole strange, wonderful, and mysterious scene, this community of people coming willfully and excitedly to the wild prophet in the desert. And now imagine and consider that according to this prophet, according to John himself, the most wonderful and mysterious thing was still yet to come. If we see this people, this community out in the wilderness drawn by John the Baptist, we imagine ourselves standing alongside them. What have we traveled all this way to hear? Or considered from the opposite perspective, from the perspective of John, if we consider that we have earned the ear of so many people, that they have come a great distance to meet us and hear us, what will we say to them? How will we convey the importance of our message that the Lord is coming, the importance of our faith that the Messiah, that Jesus Christ, is about to come and save them from their sins? Well, John is quick to the point. He's economical with his words. He says, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In other words, John says, "You people haven't seen anything yet." Biblical scholars through time have described John's job or John's function in the Gospels as one who makes way for Jesus, as one who announces Jesus' arrival. But if Jesus is who we know him to be, the Son of God, the Word made flesh, our Lord and Savior, why does Jesus need a marketer? Why does Jesus need a hype man? The answer to this question, to who John the Baptist is and why he matters, is best found perhaps not in the man himself, but in the crowd who has come to see him. John's role as a prophet in the present time is, of course, no accident. Like Isaiah, like the original announcer of the voice in the wilderness, John is carrying out his ministry at a difficult time in Israel's history. Where for Isaiah, Israel was under the captivity of Babylon, in John's time, Israel had been under the thumb of Rome. In both cases, the people who yearned for the words of the prophet wanted to know and needed to know that God was still there, that God had not forgotten about them in their captivity. Friends, there is, of course, no era of human history or of church history that is without difficulty. Though we gathered here today may not worry about Babylon or about Rome, we do have reason to worry about the powers and principalities of this world and the sins that lay heavy on our hearts. Powers such as our all-consuming media, the powers of fear and propaganda, the power of politics to divide and to sow hatred, our sins of vanity and self-obsession, our sins of seeking pleasure and comfort over justice, our sins of rejecting and ignoring those whom we consider different. Given all of these divisions that have existed for all time, there is something amazing, miraculous even, about a congregation, just about the gathering of people in common cause. Whether we are speaking of the congregation gathered in John's wilderness or our own church, there is something truly amazing about a community united in the faith of a Savior who is both arrived and arriving. At its best, the church is a place where the politics and sins of this world have no power, where there is no consideration for our differences in politics or our differences in our favorite sins, where we all can come openly before God and to feel belonging in our shared faith. In baptism, part of what we do is recognize the love and the power that God has used to unite us. In baptism, we call each person by name. We recognize them as a member of this community, the church, and we make vows to safeguard their care and their belonging in this church until the day when we are finally perfected in Christ and we see him face to face, as Paul said. "I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Through our baptism of water, we are initiated into knowing Christ fully according to God's will. We are initiated into being that expectant community that meets John in the wilderness. In this way, the words spoken by John the Baptist carry meaning into our current church. We have shared this baptism of water. We invite you into this baptism of water, and one day, both already and not yet, we will meet Jesus and be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Our baptism of water may not be our final baptism, but it is the one we share as an earthly community, as a congregation, as a church. A community that has decided that what separates us according to the powers and principalities of the world compares nothing to what unites us in faith. A community that decided that what separates us does not compare to what unites us in faith. See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. This quotation of the prophecy of Isaiah is the second sentence in Mark's gospel. Mark thinks it's very, very important for us to know these words from Isaiah. Before introducing us to the initiator, that is John the Baptist, Mark sets the stage with the words of Israel's greatest prophet, the one who announces that even in times of difficulty, even in times of captivity, the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. There is a messenger preparing his way. He shouts out like a voice of one crying out in the wilderness. And earlier I invited our Sunday school students to imagine something like a coyote breaking the silence of the wilderness. Something that interrupts, something that can scare us, something that stirs us from complacency. Friends, to now I have spoken of the amazing ability of God through Jesus Christ, through John the Baptist, and through Isaiah to make a community out of strangers and call it a church. But truly, this reality should stand out as even more amazing, as even more of a miracle, given the isolated times that we live in. It would almost be easier in John's day, in days before the many distractions we face today, to go out and meet the man in the wilderness. It must have been the big news in town. Have you heard about John? He's baptizing people in the river. Let's go see him. It's a little bit more difficult to have a common experience today. It has been said many times that loneliness is the epidemic of our time. Whether it is despite or because of our technology, we are living in a time and place of unprecedented loneliness and isolation. A world where, according to statistics, more and more people do not have even one person they can reliably call upon. A world where seniors who live alone can wait weeks or even months between face-to-face interactions. A world where youth receive bullying and put-downs 24/7 through their smartphones, but have nothing but social isolation and social anxiety to show for all this great technology. In these times of unprecedented loneliness, of unprecedented private wilderness, there is still a voice that breaks through and unites people. Gathered together in community in a shared faith that Christ is the big yes to all of the no's of the world, we stand together united in faith and in the waters of baptism that there is still a voice crying out. Sometimes this voice sounds like God the Father, sometimes like God the Son, sometimes like God the Holy Spirit, and even sometimes like John the Baptist. But the voice calls. The voice calls, it invites, it charges us to the task to prepare the way of the Lord in our lives, in our hearts, and also in our communities. To live our lives in the faith and hope of the coming Savior. This voice calls us. It calls us above the din and confusion of our lives. It calls us through the icy isolation of the world. And most amazing of all, it calls us together as a community. That in community, in church, in baptism, we are united in this faith. Friends, Mark does not tell us a great deal about those who are gathered to receive John's baptism. What they looked like, how they dressed, how they made their livings, what was precious to them in their lives. Only that they were a crowd. That out of many individuals, they were united as one congregation. The strange and wonderful thing about the wild prophet in the wilderness is that he made a community out of a crowd, that God can use a wild man in wild clothing, eating wild things to bring about God's church. Being united in a common baptism, they and now we are united in a common hope and faith. In the modern church, we have many quotable ways to remind ourselves of what the church truly is, that is, the community. We say often that the church is not a building, but rather the church is a people. We say that God's church does not have a mission, but rather God's mission has a church. However, even with these reminders, it is easy sometimes for us to lose sight of who we are and in whose name we are gathered, or who we are and whose we are, to borrow another quotable phrase. Truly, the answer here is much like it was for those who went out to hear John's message and receive his baptism. There is a voice crying out in the wilderness. Not just in the wilderness of the Jordan River, but the wilderness of our busy modern lives. The wilderness of powers and principalities, the wilderness of excess, the wilderness of temptations, the wilderness of comforts and entertainment, the wilderness of idols, the wilderness of isolation. There is a voice that cries out in that wilderness and that breaks it. The voice breaks the silence, it breaks the noise, it breaks the confusion and the restlessness, it breaks the monotony and the everyday things that keep us from God. There is a voice that cries out to break the wilderness and to draw us together to make us a community and a church. A church that still gathers to hear the truth of John's message and to receive baptism as it was given. But let us not forget our greatest hope and joy. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Amen.